Everybody gets sleepy after they eat a turkey meal on Thanksgiving, except nothing I just said is true. Turns out, didn't know this till this week, you'd have to eat 8 pounds of turkey to get enough tryptophan to feel even a little bit of what I just said. And the turkey's been getting to bun wrap all these years. Turns out we get drowsy after Thanksgiving primarily, they say, because of all the stress that goes into Thanksgiving. Because of all the work, all the preparation, all the stuff that happens, and that when it's finally over and the dishes in the dishwasher and you finally settle down and you can relax, well, of course you're going to fall asleep. I mean, that's part of it. Another part of it is all the carbs that we eat, which really do cause drowsiness. There's alcohol in the story for some. There's watching the Cowboys for others. They'd rather sleep than watch the Cowboys. It goes on and on, but it's not because of the turkey. So let's just get clear about that. Aren't you glad you came to chapel? You know, need to know this stuff, right? Here's another thing we think we know. Here's a typical Christmas manger scene, right? And so there's baby Jesus in the wooden crib, and they're inside the wooden stable, and there's the three wise men over there, and there's the idyllic shepherds over there, and there's Mary, the young woman who is the mother of Jesus, except nothing I just said is true. I know. Now, we've talked about this before, but maybe, you know, we're in and out, that sort of thing. The wise men didn't get there until probably 2 years after Jesus' birth. They traveled in groups of 12 for safety's sake, not three. They're three wise men by tradition because of the three gifts, not because it ever says there were actually three of them. Mary was probably a teenager when she and Joseph were married. The thing happened in a cave. I'm going to show you a picture of it in a little while. The place where Jesus was laid was a feed trough. We'll look at that in a second. And the shepherds were not the idyllic figures you see up there. They were the lowest on the social totem pole. Shepherds were thought to be thieves. They were liars. They couldn't testify in a court of law. They couldn't go into a synagogue or into a temple. They were considered to be persona non grata. And it's just so cool that they were the ones invited to Christmas. So, and in fact, by the way, what you just saw up there was invented by St. Francis of Assisi in 1223. He's the one that invented the nativity scenes as we know them today. That's St. Francis, 1223 A.D. And so once again, what we think we know turns out not entirely to be true. One more illustration of that thought for today, and that has to do with the why of Christmas. So I heard a preacher tell a story. A woman is on her deathbed. Her husband is on one side. Their estranged son is on the other side. In her last act, she takes the hand of the wrathful father and the hand of the sinful child, and she brings them together over her body, and she dies. And in just the same way, the preacher said, on the cross, Jesus took the hand of the wrathful father and sinful humanity and brought us together over his body, and he died. Except what I just said is not true. So the most famous verse in Scripture, John 3:16, says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17 adds, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Christmas was God's idea. Christmas is the Father's love. Now, it's absolutely true Jesus died for our sin. No doubt about that. We'll talk about that in just a second. No doubt that his death on the cross paid the debt that we owed and purchased our salvation. But the point of the why of Christmas is not that Jesus loves you so much he came at Christmas to die on Good Friday so that he could bring together a wrathful father who hates you because of your sin and you over here because of your sin, and Jesus brings you together. The why of Christmas is the love of God. It's your Father's love expressed in his Son's gift that is the why of Christmas. And we see it all through the Scriptures. That's why 7 centuries before Christmas, Isaiah 7, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. 5 centuries before Christmas, we're told where it will happen in Micah 5:2. You, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be a ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Hosea prophesied that Jesus would go to Egypt and come back as a child. And Hosea 11, verse 1, out of Egypt I called my son. Scripture prophesied that John the Baptist would go before Jesus to begin his public ministry. This is Isaiah 40, verse 3, a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Malachi 3, 1, behold, I send my messenger who will prepare the way before you. Revelation 13, 8 says, Jesus is the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. This was always the Father's idea. In fact, if we'd spend the rest of the day, I could show you 48 different prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament, every one of which Jesus fulfilled. 48 messianic promises, demonstrating this was the Father's plan from the beginning of time. Now, you know the odds of one man fulfilling those 48 prophecies? According to a mathematician named Peter Stoner, the odds of that is 1 in 10 to the 157th power. That's what that number looks like. Those are the odds of Jesus fulfilling the 48 messianic prophecies he fulfilled. That number is bigger than the number of electrons in the universe. In case you wonder if this is all just a coincidence. And all of this, an expression of the Father's love. So why did he do that? Why did he do that? It says God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Why did he do that? Is it because we deserve that? Is it because we're such loving people, such great people, such worthy people, that the Father looks down at us and says, you know, you people are so worthy of my love that I'm going to send my son, and my son's going to die for you because you deserve that? You better say no, because if you deserve his love, you can lose his love. Anything you have to earn, you can unearn, right? Anything you merit, you can lose. And the phenomenal good news here is the Father chose there to be Christmas because of who he is, not because of who we are. God is love. He can't not love. He loves you because he loves you. Nothing you can do to make him love you any more or any less than he already does. Jesus made that clear in this incredible statement. This is in John 17. Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says, I made known to them your name. I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Now, the Greek says that the exact same love you have for me may be in them. Do you know that the Father loves you as much as he loves his own son? That the Father in heaven loves you as much as he loves Jesus. And the reason isn't because you're sinless like Jesus, right? It's because he is love. Now, why should that matter to you this Christmas? Last question of the morning. Let's illustrate it this way. There's King Charles III. Jen and I started watching The Crown this weekend. I don't know if you've started seeing season 5 or not. Well, if you do, just understand, it is fictional narrative using royal family figures, is what it is. I won't explain that if you haven't seen it. I won't go into any details. I'm actually going to write about this in my article tomorrow, so if you haven't seen The Crown, don't read my article tomorrow. But nonetheless, it's a fictionalized account. That's the way royal family biography works. I say that because, and the reason we're talking about him for a second, there's a new biography of King Charles that just came out this week. And in it, it alleges that he has such a violent temper that at one point he lost a cufflink down the drain of a sink and pulled the sink off the wall. Or so the story goes. Now, did that really happen? I have no idea. Is that made up? I didn't know he was strong enough to pull the sink off a wall. It'd have to be pretty strong to do that, I would think. Nonetheless, that's the story. And I say that to say this. Aren't you glad there's not a biographer writing a tell-all of your story? Whether that happened or not, aren't you glad the stuff that did happen in your life isn't up on that screen? Take a moment just to think about all the things you're so grateful the rest of us don't know. And then realize the God of the universe knows all of that. In fact, he not only knows all your secrets from the past, he knows all your mistakes in the future you don't even yet know you're going to commit. and he loves you because he is love. Nothing you can do to earn it or to lose it. So this Christmas season, I hope you'll spend time remembering the why of Christmas. Go back to where it all started. This is the Church of the Incarnation, Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. That door way down at the end is how you get in, outside that plaza. When you go through that small door, this is what you see inside. It's a Crusader-era building, although parts of it go back to the 4th century when it was originally built. There are mosaics there that go back to the 4th century. That's Greek Orthodox worship center. You make your way to the very front of it. You go around to the right behind what we would call the choir loft, and you go down 14 steps, and you're in this cave. And this is someplace in this cave system, the place where Jesus was born. Not in a lovely wooden stable, in a dirty, smelly, ugly, smoke-filled, animal-filled, smelly cave. And then when he was born, he was laid in a manger. That's a manger. That's what a manger looks like. It's a feed trough. In the cave where the animals were kept. And he did that so he could do that. Remember that, the why of Christmas. Tim Keller says, "The Christian gospel is that I am so flawed that Jesus had to die for me, yet I am so loved and valued that Jesus was glad to die for me. This leads to deep humility and deep confidence at the same time. It undermines both swaggering and sniveling. I cannot feel superior to anyone, and yet I have nothing to prove to anyone. I do not think more of myself or less of myself. Instead, I think of myself less." This Christmas season, let me invite you to think of yourself less. Let me invite you to remember the why of Christmas all across this season. And when you do, express your gratitude in worship and then share that gift with somebody else. Pay forward that gift to somebody who needs to know they are loved as you know you are loved. I'll close with this. Love this, these words, this hymn of prayer. "Teach me to love thee as thine angels love, one holy passion filling all my frame, the kindling of the heaven-descended dove, my heart and altar, and thy love the flame." My heart and altar, and thy love the flame. Let's pray. Why did you need that reminder today? What guilt or failure in your heart would you like to bring to the God who is love today? Do that right now. Confess it to him. Admit it to him. Unburden your heart today. Unshackle your soul. Give him that thing that's weighing on your spirit today. Perhaps it's not your sin or your failure. Perhaps it's somebody else you're carrying in your heart today. Give them to this God who is love. He loves them more than you can. He loves them because he is love. Give him the greatest burden of your soul today. Now go with me back to the place where it happened. Stoop down through the door into that marvelous cathedral. Make your way around to the side and down the 14 steps into that cave. Imagine the animals and the fire and the smoke. Feel it, smell it. And in that feed trough, see a baby. And remember the why of Christmas. He did that for you. He would do it again just for you. What would you like to say in gratitude to your loving Father right now? And then last, would you ask the Father to help you share that gift this Christmas season? To pray for somebody who's hurting. To offer a word of help to somebody who's struggling. To share the good news of God's love in your life and in your words. Ask God to help you share the gift that is the why of Christmas. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are love. We thank you that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you that he is the lamb slain from the creation of the world. And we thank you that the why of Christmas is us. Because of your love. Because you are love. We praise you. We thank you. We adore you. We will serve you in gratitude for such grace. In the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. God bless. Have a good day.